This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. And at the date of the recording, this was a live broadcast, but you couldn't listen to it live because we don't roll that way. I'm Mark Stuchowski, also the host of, I wish I could say, the award-winning Spotify $100 million podcast, but that would be a lie. But I am the host of the Mark Stuchowski podcast. You can go to MrProductivity.com and find that out. I'm in Houston, Texas, and I do the show every week with my cousin, who also happens to be bald and a nerd. And what is your name? I can't remember what your name is.
I can't remember my name either. No, I'm Dan Born, and I am up in the gray and chilly Rochester, New York right now, because it's starting to get to be that time. Although for November, I will say that high 50s, low 60s, which is what it's projected for the week, is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I fled New York State back in 1997. I said, enough of this cold, gloomy weather. And I was sitting outside. Danny texted me and he said, hey, I'm going to be about 10 minutes late because I've got to take care of some things after a meeting at work. And I took a selfie of being out in the sun, getting some vitamin D. So I said, I was busy too. So life in the South, it is nice. But the weather app has it wrong. All the weather apps say it's mostly cloudy out. And I had to let them know, there's not a cloud in the sky. You might want to update your weather app. Just saying. Anyways, on the show today, we're going to talk about three letters that are making the rounds around the internet. And people are going to wonder, what in the world is an NFT? Well, right off the top, non-fungible token. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about NFTs, but I'm going to share a little bit about what I've learned, and I'm going to let Danny ask me questions, which I probably won't be able to answer, but that's part of the joy of the show. So what is an NFT? Well, officially, NFTs are designed as a way for digital files to be secured in a way that ensure ownership and create scarcity. Now, if that gets you confused, I want you to think about it this way. So I'm a daily runner and I have a pair of running shoes I wear every day for about 500 miles and I get new ones. Now, you can go out to Amazon or some other sporting goods store and buy the exact same shoe I have, but it's not the shoe I wear. So if you want my running shoes, there's only one pair of them. I have them, although you can buy a similar one, but you can't get mine. Does that make sense to you, Danny?
It does.
So what NFTs are is if I create art, right now it's primarily in art. So I create an art and then you buy the NFT, you buy the original copy. Now, can you screenshot it? Yeah, but it's not the original. Like someone actually sold the original first tweet of Jack Dorsey, paid an obscene amount of money for it. And I don't completely understand this whole NFT thing. So you've got the original tweet, but then I'm thinking, okay, is it on your device? So I'm still wrapping my head around it. But here's the thing you need to understand. NFTs are tied to the infamous blockchain and Ethereum. That's where this whole thing goes. And what I found interesting is one of the people I follow a lot on social media is Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary says the world is going to the world of NFTs. Now, he says most NFTs out there right now are worthless or going to go to zero. But he says the future is NFTs. So remember during the pandemic, we all had these QR codes for restaurants or worship guides at church. He goes, the next generation is going to be NFTs. So in other words, you go to a concert and that will become an NFT. So it'll be collectible at that point. Or your airline tickets. We all use the QR code when we're boarding the plane. You just take your iPhone, or it also works with the Apple Watch. I don't know if you ever tried that, Danny. And so QR codes are everywhere. He says those are not collectible, but someday your concert tickets, your airline tickets are all going to be NFTs. And I think it's fascinating because people can pay a lot of money for NFTs. And in just a few minutes after Danny gets to chime in here for a few minutes, I'm going to tell you what the top three most expensive NFTs ever purchased were. The first one was back in 2014. So not that long ago, about 8 years ago, Quantum was the first NFT created. But before I tell you, Danny, the top three most expensive NFTs ever purchased, do you have anything to add or any questions to ask me? Like, I'm not an expert, but I want to toss the microphone over to you.
Yeah, I guess my biggest thing with the whole concept of NFT, and again, I did no research for this. This was Mark's topic, so I wanted to see what he would come up with. And that's generally how we do that when we're not doing dual shows where we're both talking about the same thing. We kind of let the other guy go and try not to do a lot of research because it stimulates the questions a lot mm-hmm. better on the fly. My biggest thing is, how do they actually get that original piece of digital art or digital file, if it were, connected to the blockchain so that they know that particular one, that one particular digital file is the original? Like, I get the concept in general, like you do, but how do they make it all work?
Well, you remember when we did the blockchain cryptocurrency on an earlier yeah. episode. And so every transaction has a unique identifier. So when you buy an NFT, you get a unique identifier. That part makes sense to me. But what doesn't make sense to me is like the original tweet from Jack Dorsey, the first tweet on Twitter. So I can go get that and screenshot it. Okay, yeah, I can't sell it, but I don't understand the value. This is I did a lot of research on this, and I don't understand because, okay, so you, Danny, purchased the original tweet by Jack Dorsey. And I'm like, so? you can't hang it on your wall because it's a digital file.
Mm-hmm.
So I read and watched a bunch of videos. I didn't read videos. I read a bunch of stuff and watched a bunch of videos. And I'm still trying. I get the concept of NFTs, but like when I did the running shoe example, that makes sense to me. Okay. So I have my running shoes. Like, you're wearing a blue shirt right now as we're recording the show. That you can go buy the same shirt, but you can't buy Danny's shirt unless you wanted to literally buy the shirt off his back. So I understand that. But I don't understand. So you own the first tweet on Twitter. It's a digital file. What are you going to do with that? Now, I guess people look at it like art and you collect it. But I think NFT is going to take off. Yes. But I think right now it's in its infancy. And so I don't understand how all the dots connect. But I think it's something that we're going to look forward to in the future. But as Gary says, and he knows a lot more than this than I do, because we talked about Ethereum and the blockchain before, that yeah. right now it's not a worthwhile investment because, you know, it goes up and down too much. I do think it'll get stabilized in the future. How much in the future? I have no idea.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of, it has something to do, I know when it comes to JPEGs, there is a way to convert the actual JPEG image to a textual representation. So if they could somehow do that and then embed that into the transaction flow of your blockchain transaction, then I guess that would digitally sign it, right? Because then you'd know that specific file is now tagged to that blockchain transaction. Any other file, copy of that file, technically would have a different textual rendering if you converted it into text. Maybe that's how they're going to do it.
Right. Well, I did find some Q&A online, and I'll just read these because some of this stuff is complicated to me because this is a really difficult subject to get my head around. So one of the questions was, how do NFTs and crypto connect? It says NFTs are also called non-fungible tokens, as I already mentioned, and they are blockchain held tokens that represent a unique asset, whether physical or digital. NFTs are secured on cryptocurrency blockchains, trading using Ethereum, Solana, WAX, and other tokens. This means they are tied to the ebb and flow of cryptocurrency values, which is a positive and a negative. Are NFTs legit? Yes, they are legit, but the term and use is so broad that you may stumble across some scams and schemes that aren't. So if someone wants to sell you NFT, do your work, do your homework, vet them, because you can easily be scammed. How do people buy NFTs? Well, there's several ways. There's several reasons why. Some view NFTs as assets to collect and trade. They see them as investments. Others just love the art or the technology behind NFTs and like to experiment with how it can be used. More and more people are now seeing NFTs as a way to launch products, raise funding, and give a voice to the marginalized communities there's a sense that NFTs can unlock a new kind of democracy. For me, I understand it, but for me, I don't know if I, as Mr. Productivity, would come out and say, okay, I'm going to create an NFT for anybody who wants to, you know, buy the original, whatever it is. And maybe if I became a next Tony Robbins or a Gary Vaynerchuk or a Warren Buffett or something like that, oh my gosh, I remember back in 2022 or 2023, Mark did this thing and I bought it, and I bought it for $50. Now it's worth $50 quadrillion, which may be worth $50, you know, down the line. We don't know where inflation is going, but I understand that. But I think it is so in its infancy at this point in time that people are either jumping in and losing a lot of money, or they're like, let me wait and see. Okay. I think it's coming, but I think it's got to go through a lot of maturation at this point.
Yeah. And maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is it so much in its infancy, and with any kind of technology, we've talked about technology, and if it's in its infancy before in general, it's got to go through some growing pains to get to its final end state. Mm-hmm. So maybe the fact that we don't quite understand how it all works together, maybe the powers that be that are behind this don't quite have it all put together completely yet either. And it'll go through some different iterations as to how you get this. Because at some point you might find that some people are figure out a way around it in a certain way or whatever. You never know. So it does beg the question, how long will it take? With technology, usually these things churn pretty fast, but mm-hmm. it seems like another one of those complicated processes. And there's going to have to be a lot of thought put into it going forward if it's going to be used for anything that's used for monetary value or monetary transactions. You got to put a lot of thought into it. Whoever's going to be overseeing it or trying to commission it or use it for that purpose, you got to put a lot of thought into it, because you mentioned scams. You don't want this getting into the wrong hands and mm-hmm. people using it to be able to cheat folks.
Yeah. So if you are interested in NFTs, please do your homework first. And when I say your homework, I mean, you go to YouTube and you type in what Gary did. He typed in, what is an NFT? Is NFT legit? Is NFT a scam? And he recommends 20 to 30 hours of doing research. Just don't go buy the first NFT that comes along. Do your homework. Buyer beware. No one's going to force you to buy an NFT, so do your homework. So here are the three most expensive NFT sales of all time. This is as of, I guess, a couple days ago. We're recording this on November 2nd. Number three, and I don't understand, I'm not going to even imagine what these are for. Beeple, that's BEEPLE by Human One. $28.9 million, 4,700 Ethereum tokens, I guess. The sale details, Beeple's Human One sold for $28.9 million on November 9th, 2021. It was auctioned off as part of Christie's 21st Century Evening Sale. Why it's valuable? Human One is an NFT like no other. As the first ever physical piece from acclaimed artists, both the NFT and the electronic sculpture went up to auction as a single lot. Considering the massive sale of Beeple's Everydays, also on the list, many were unsure what this new, constantly evolving digital masterpiece would fetch at auction. Yet as Christie's has continued to help legitimize NFTs as the true works of art, it's no wonder that Beeple's Human One, that's the number one, O-N-E, would be second only to Beeple himself in 2021. Number two, Julian Assange and Pac. Sale details, in February of 2022, Julian Assange and Pac's clock NFT became the second most expensive single NFT ever sold. The NFT depicts a timer that counts the number of days Assange has spent in prison. It was curated as part of Pac, that's P-A-K, and Assange's centered collection, which also featured a dynamic open edition. Why it's valuable? Pac has remained anonymous throughout their entire career, while simultaneously becoming one of the highest grossing living artists. They took to Twitter shortly after the auction closed, labeling the endeavor, quote, a drop with no creator, developer, platform, middlemen share, end quote. That is, quote, from people for the people, end quote. The piece was purchased by Assange DAO, an organization whose primary mission is to fight for the freedom of the WikiLeaks founder. And the number one most expensive NFT to date is Beeple Everydays. I just mentioned this. The first 5,000 days, it is the most famous NFT sale and the most expensive NFT sale to date. And it pulled in $69.3 million. Oh, by the way, Julian Assange's pulled in $52.7 million. Why Beeple's Everydays is valuable. Not only was this the most expensive NFT sale ever, but the event created a snowball effect throughout the mainstream media and brought the term NFT into households around the world. Before Christie's decided to take a chance on NFTs via its online auction, the act of minting, collecting, and trading NFTs was seen as niche at best. But after Beeple secured the biggest bag in all of NFTs, it was clear, even to Saturday Night Live, that the time of NFTs has arrived. So again, those numbers, number three, Beeple's Human One, 28.9 million. Number two, Julian Assange and Pock Clock, 52.7 million. And Beeple's Everydays, the first 5,000 days, $69.3 million. Danny, what say you?
I get the concept of the NFT, but like some of these things I just don't understand. You just have to have, if it's in the art world, which it seems like these top three ones are very art related.
Yes.
And NFTs to start off have been very art related. And I can understand using them from the standpoint of trying to give reliable copyright and ownership to digital art, because that's always been a problem since digital art's been around. How do you know you have the actual original piece of digital art? So from that standpoint, I get it. But I apply the same logic for this as I do for any piece of art. And I guess you just have to be in the art collecting mindset. I understand buying art to hang on your wall or buying art. Maybe you're going to use it as a backdrop on your computer so you can display it or whatever. But why spend that much money on any piece of art? Even something as a Van Gogh painting, go completely the opposite way. I just don't think I would have it in me to spend, even if I had the whatever it's worth, let's say it's $100 million, to buy the first Van Gogh piece of art just so that I could say I have Van Gogh's first painting. Like, in my brain, it just doesn't compute.
Well, I say to each his own. So people think I'm crazy that I dropped $3,000 on a MacBook Pro because I felt it was the best tool for my business. I have an Apple Watch. Some people have Tesla cars. Some people have watches on their wrists that are like $900,000. And I say I will never judge anyone, and it really drives me nuts. I have this conversation with my father every time a major league athlete signs a multi-trillion-dollar contract. No one's worth that money. I'm like, Dad, number one, you're not paying for it. Okay. Number two, why do you care? I mean, if he asks for $40 million, $60 million, $80 million, and they pay him, well, yeah, the fans are going to pay more money. And that gets into a different gray area for me. The fans will say that's too much money, but then they'll go to the game and pay the money for the ticket. You have the right to vote for what you want.
Well, I mean, that's
spend your money.
That's a different concept, right? Now, I don't judge people for spending their money however they want to spend their money. Like, my point is, from my perspective, I don't get why people value things that way. But if people value things that way, then that's on them. And if they've got the money to throw around to spend it, then hey, more power to them. I don't get it. Like, people ask me, they get all excited about it and they want me to be excited for them. And I can say, hey, I'm glad you bought that. Even lower amounts. Like, I know some people at work that are like really into art. They collect a lot of art and they'll come in and they say, I bought this painting for $400, but it's really worth, like, maybe from an investment value, I can understand that point. If you buy something at a reasonable price, but then you find out later or you know that it's worth more, well, now you're talking about a potential investment. So you've actually increased your overall net worth. However, it's just something I don't get. I don't really judge people on it. It's just something that I don't completely understand it in my brain. Because in my view, there's And again, this is me. There's other things that I would spend that money on. And some people might find that stuff to be weird. So it's,
well, let me ask you this question. QR codes have been around for a long time. They really didn't hit the mainstream until COVID.
Yeah.
Once COVID hit, boom, I mean, menus and all this stuff happened and everybody seemed to adapt them. Now in our church, you go to our church. I go to Second Baptist Church in Houston. On the back of everyone's seats, there's a QR code, which if you're a new member, you can scan it and then takes you to the website. You fill out the new member information in case you don't want to, you know, fill out the card they pass by. I think that's eventually going to happen with NFTs. I think, you know, we've gone to concerts before and I save some of my concert tickets because, oh my gosh, I want to see this concert. And some concert tickets are just like, they're boring, but some of them do a lot of artwork. And I think down the road, they're going to be NFTs because I think down the road, we're not going to have as much paper tickets. You're going to go and everything's going to be on your phone. Now, I know that scares the older generation. And some older generation people have adapted, like my father's 81, and he's got an iPhone and a MacBook and stuff like that. And some people, like our beloved Aunt Rory, she hates modern technology. She wants to go back to the 60s. So I think what's going to happen is down the road, you're going to have to make a choice. I think in our lifetime, I'm 57. How old are you, Danny?
48.
All right. So I think in our lifetime that eventually airline tickets will be NFTs. Now, I don't know if that's a year or 5 years or 10 years. I think in our lifetime, they will not be QR codes. As a matter of fact, I see a time in our lifetime where you will not be able to print your ticket anymore. You will not be able to go to the kiosk at the airport. You'll have to have a device because by that point, almost everyone's going to have a device. Now, I guess if you don't have a device, you don't fly. I don't know. But I see that happening in our lifetime because, like you said, there's some kind of law that, like someone said, Moore's Law or something like the chips or something like that. Technology is happening so fast. We're in 2022. I remember when there was no cell phones, when there was no internet. It wasn't back in the 40s. I remember when I went to Rochester Institute of Technology and I went there, I started going there like 85. I mean, it was a big deal to have access to the internet and everything was text-based. There was no HTML. And so we're not, this technology is happening so fast. It's new stuff coming out, changes are coming out, and you can either ride the wave or you can be a denier and say, oh, I'm going to deny this. Well, I think the deniers are in fighting a losing battle because the technology is going to keep on moving forward, good, bad, or indifferent. It's going to keep moving forward.
That is true. You can't slow it down at this point without doing some sort of major damage.
Right.
I mean, the only way to really slow it down would be like severe infrastructure destruction that would cause everybody to say, whoa, we need a plan B because what happens if electricity is like not operational? Because all of this stuff relies on electricity to be able to actually operate because that's what's running all the computers.
Yep.
Barring some sort of massive catastrophe on that scale, you're not going to slow this stuff down. It's just going to keep going. And I'm sure there are completely legitimate uses for these things. And if you look at the course of human history, how we get to some of these legitimate uses is they go through periods where somebody comes up with an idea and people at the beginning, they're like, I don't get it. Then all of a sudden, somebody applies it to something that's completely useful. And then everybody's like, aha, now I get it. When Bitcoin first came out, people really weren't, I don't get it. I don't, blockchain, some sort of weird thing. Like, now look at Bitcoin. And there's other cryptocurrencies that are out there, but they don't even perform as well or as on the same level that Bitcoin still is the king, the Mac Daddy of all cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Because it's tried and true and it's working and it seems to work. And people are now coming up with other ideas like NFTs to use the technology behind Bitcoin. So sometimes it takes a bit of time for not necessarily the technology behind it, but the idea of what you can use it for to catch fire. I'm sure that there, back in the day, I remember when the phones came out and everybody was like, ah, who wants to carry around a phone in their pocket? I don't want to carry a phone. I don't want to be able to get a hold of all the time. Like, it's nice to be able to walk out. And now everybody's like, you forget your phone at home? Where,
Yeah.
Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Oh, no. You know, so we've gotten to that point with these things. So sometimes it just takes a minute for things to catch on. And we may not understand it. Like, I don't understand some of this stuff in terms of why it's being applied a certain way. But that doesn't mean that I don't find the technology fascinating and that I don't see value in it potentially. Airlines, things, you know, the shopping, the assessing value on things. This could be the way to get us from Bitcoin as a technology to having a digital form of currency. Never know.
Yeah. Well, we are going to see in the future, and it's going to be exciting. I love new technology. I love, you know me, I watch the Apple keynotes. It's always fascinating to see what new technologies out there. And I'm like you. That's why we have the Two Bald Nerds podcast. I would love talking about nerdy stuff. But here's a question for you. If you could buy the original code, an NFT of the original code of your beloved Linux, I mean, the original code, and you had the money, would you buy it? Really? No. Wow.
You know why?
Okay.
Because the original, again, maybe this is just me, and I don't put so much posterity on that original work, because the original Linux is an interesting example, because the original work started a chain reaction. Where it is now is so much better than where it started. I assess the fact that the value was there when it started and that started the idea, but we've come so far. Now, if you were to tell me, and again, possibly if there was an NFT for the original, an original copy of, let's say, the Book of Genesis, maybe. But again, that stuff is an idea. It's a concept. It's an idea that has gotten us to a point. And I don't necessarily put so much emphasis on the starting point. It's more on the ending point, but it's the journey in between. And we've talked about
Makes
that,
sense.
Right? That life in general isn't about where you start. And it's not always necessarily about where you finish. It's about that whole time period in between and the growth between the start and the end.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know, as an Apple fanboy, I have no desire of buying the iPhone that Steve Jobs introduced to the world. It's useless. What am I going to do with it? I can't do anything with it. So, but there are people who want to have the original iPhone, the original Macintosh computer.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, great. I'm like you. If I like Van Gogh, I'll take a copy. I don't need the original. The copy is probably 1/1000th of the price. And I'm like, I don't get art. I really don't. I mean, I'd rather take a nice picture on my phone and say, oh, I took that. But that's me. And I don't judge people. If you want to spend your money on that, go ahead. So we didn't give you just a little taste of NFTs. Again, I want to emphasize, don't go out and buy an NFT until you do your homework. And like Gary Vaynerchuk says, I think it's wise advice, 20 to 30 hours minimum understanding what NFTs do. Minimum. Understand, because what we told you on the show today, no, this doesn't count. Go to the experts and learn what NFTs do before you go and spend your money so you don't get ripped off. Danny, as we wrap up the show, do you happen to have a concept for the next episode, or are you still mulling
over? I have my next two episodes up top. Ooh, here in the brain.
What's the next one?
Next episode I want to talk about what's been affectionately termed Web 3.0.
Oh, that was going to be mine. Oh, you stole it. But you know what?
Let's do a combo. We haven't done a combo episode in a while, so we'll do a combo. So the next episode will be Mark and Dan giving their thoughts on Web 3.0. Because
And some people are going, wait a minute, there's a one Web 1? We'll explain it all next week.
It's a big deal. It's a big thing that's coming. And I've been hearing it a lot on a lot of my tech podcasts that I listen to. So I figured we should give it some love, because it's a thing that's coming. So.
Yes. And, you know, so we both have the same idea. And I wish there's a way that people, if they had an idea for a topic for the show, that they could let us know. I mean, I was thinking carrier pigeons, but that probably
wouldn't
work.
What about snail mail? They could always send us a letter, couldn't they, you know?
Well, How about smoke signals? But then again, if it's windy, we wouldn't understand it. Morse code?
That's a possibility. That's a possibility.
You have any,
you have any ideas? I think we already have something. We have a WhatsApp group. Did you know this? This is amazing.
Well, I knew it, but there's no one on it right now.
Yes. So we have a WhatsApp group. If you go to WhatsApp and you search for the number 2, Dose. Bald, B-A-L-D,
got
nerds, N-E-R-D-Z, or
Z.
Find that group, ask to be invited in. Mark or I will invite you in. Right now, it's Mark and I. So it gets kind of lonely because we talk to each other a lot.
We're Mr. Lonely.
If you watch those shows, you know, with the tumbleweeds tumbling down the dirt roads, you know, in the westerns. Yeah. That's kind of what the WhatsApp group feels like.
You know, someday this show is going to be like a massive hit. People are going to go back to these early episodes. They're going to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe these people. Oh man, they were talking about NFTs before NFTs were a thing. And they're still bald. We'll be like 95 years old. You won't be 95. I'll be 95. You'll be like shortly below me. But this is going to be a big show, people. And if you're listening now when we're nobodies, well, we're somebody in God's eyes, but you're going to be so glad you listened to the episodes.
You're getting in on the ground floor.
Yes, the ground floor. So go to WhatsApp, join our group, say hi, give us topics. Give us your opinions. Just keep it polite and clean. Otherwise, we'll boot you. So that's all we got. We'll be back next week or whenever you listen to the next episode. Web 3.0, Web 3.0. If you don't know what the difference of one Web 1, Web 2, Web 2.6, 5, 4, 3, 8, 4, we'll explain all that next time. So thank you so much for your time and attention. And Danny, I got to tell them before they go, I always got to tell them one thing. You tell them something else. Number one, if you like this episode, please share it on any podcast player. You can share the episode. Just click that share button and send it to somebody because we want to get this information into more people's ears. That would really, really help this podcast to grow. And Danny, the final thing they have to do is
you have to stay nerdy.